The Foresight Chronicles by John Galsworthy, dramatized by David Spencer. With Dirk Bogarde as Galsworthy, Alan Howard as Soames, Amanda Redman, Fleur, Michael Williams, Young Jolyon, Diana Quick, Irene, Gary Cady, John, and Michael Horden, Old Jolyon. Episode 9.
Where are you lunching?
Oh, where are you lunching?
What reserve of power in the British realm? Enough pigeons, lobsters, lamb, salmon, mayonnaise, strawberries, and bottles of champagne to feed the lot. Tradition!
Now, Soames, you, Annette, and Fleur are joining me for a jolly at my table in the Bedouin Club tent.
Isn't that for travellers?
Founded in the interests of travel. I didn't know you were an explorer, Aunt Winifred. No, my dear, but my instinct tells me that a club with such a name is bound to go far. If I hadn't joined now, I might never have the job.
On the 9th of July of that year, 1920, began the second anniversary of the resurrection of England's pride and glory, the top hat. Lords, that festival which the war had driven from the field, raised its light and dark blue flags for the second time, displaying almost every feature of a glorious past. Eton, Harrow, cricket, tradition.
I'm expecting Prosper, but he's so busy with his yacht.
Huh. Oh, indeed.
Preparing for the South Seas.
That chap performed. Not a sign in my wife's face, not a movement. She evidently knows all about it. So does Fleur. Fleur's rather colourless. No life, no eagerness. That wretched love affair is preying on her. It's a bad business.
I wish we were back 40 years, old boy. It's all been very amusing after all. Sometimes I even wish Monty were back.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of people nowadays, Soames?
Her precious little style. The thing began to go to pieces with bicycles and motor cars. The war has finished it.
I wonder what's coming. Look at that dress.
There's money, but no faith in things. We don't lay by for the future. Oh, these youngsters, it's all short life and a merry one with them.
Oh, yes, a hat. I don't know. When you come to think of the people killed and all that in the war, it's rather wonderful, I think. There's no other country. Prosper says the rest are all bankrupt except America, and of course her men always took their style and dress from us.
Is that chap really going to the South Seas?
One never knows where Prosper's going.
He's a sign of the time, if you like.
Don't turn your head, but look to your right in the front row of the stand.
Irene.
Nonsense. I couldn't have sworn any such thing.
What did you say, old boy?
Nothing.
Jolyon looks very ill. But he always had style. And she doesn't change. Except for her hair.
Why did you tell Fleur about that business?
I didn't. She picked it up. I always knew she would.
Well, it's a mess. She set her heart on their boy.
Oh, what shall you do, Soames?
Be guided by events.
Really, it almost seems like fate. Only that's so old-fashioned. Did you ever go to see old Timothy?
Yes.
He must be about ready to prophesy, I shouldn't wonder.
Where's your seat? I shall go to mine. Fleur may be back there.
No, Fleur. No, Annette. You can't expect anything of women nowadays. They've got the vote. They're emancipated. And much good it's doing them. So, Winifred would go back, would she? Put up with Darty all over again? Would I? To have the past once more? 83, 84, with Irene beside me? Before it all went so wrong? ghosts. But even now, God, I'll never understand.
Arshak!
I shan't wait any longer. They'll have to find their own way back to the hotel. I'll go to the Bayswater Road. Yes. The old aunts never failed me. Always a welcome. They're gone now, but they're still Timothy.
Mr. Timothy's not himself at all these last few days, Mr. Soames. He's been talking a great deal.
Has he said anything important?
Oh, I shouldn't like to say that, Mr. Soames. But he's turned against his will. He gets quite pettish. After having looked at it every morning for years, it does seem funny. He said the other day, they want my money. Does seem a pity he should be thinking about money at his time of life. Here we are, Mr. Soames.
Timothy, the last of the great Forsytes, was propped up in bed, with his hands joined before his chest and his eyes fixed on the ceiling, where a fly was standing upside down.
Uncle Timothy! Uncle Timothy! Uncle Timothy, is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything you'd like to say? I've come to look you up and see that everything is all right. Have you got everything you want?
No.
Can I get you anything?
No.
I'm Soames, you know, your nephew. Soames Forsyte, your brother James's son. I shall be delighted to do anything I can for you.
He's beckoning you over to him, Mr. Soames.
What is it, Uncle Timothy?
You tell them all from me. You tell them all. Hold on. Consuls are going up.
All right. I will.
Yeah.
That fly.
Take care of him, Smither. He is old.
When Smither and Cook came to prepare that terrific symbol, Timothy Forsyte, the one pure individualist left, the only man who hadn't heard of the Great War, they found him wonderful. Not even death had undermined his soundness. For 6 years, Mr. Timothy had been their baby, getting younger and younger every day, till at last, he'd been too young to live.
£5,000, Mr. Soames. That's generous. Very generous.
You've taken a lot of trouble for the family, Groutman.
You're doing, sir. I know.
It was done long ago, after Miss Hester's funeral. The old chap would be as pleased as punch now.
The last of the old Forsytes.
He left a lot of money, but with nobody particular to leave it to. Smither and Cook will go to that house in Tooting. They've got their savings and what Aunt Hester left them.
They wouldn't like to take fresh service after such a glorious past. No. It'll go on and on, that will.
The first male descendant born after all living descendants of my grandparents are dead, who reaches the age of 21.
There are two babies now, and some quite young children. If one of them lives to be 80, not a great age, and add 21, that's 100 years. Compound interest at 5% doubles you in 14 years. £150,000 net. Why, in 100 years, Mr. Soames, it'll be 20 million. and we shan't live to see it. It is a will.
Not many things in the old house will appeal to modern taste. When's the sale?
Tuesday week.
So, you're back?
Yes. I'm going to Paris, Soames. To my mother.
Oh. To your mother?
Yes. To my mother.
For how long?
I do not know.
And when are you going?
On Monday.
Will you want money?
Thank you. I have enough.
Very well. Let us know when you are coming back.
Shall I give Maman any message?
My regards.
How fortunate that you have never loved me, Soames.
You'll never ride alive, my darling. And you look so young.
The green fly are awful this year, and yet it's cold. You look tired, Jenny.
Yeah, I've been writing this. I think you ought to see it.
To John?
Yes. I'll walk a little.
She was his property. That is the view he holds of life, of human feelings and hearts. Property. To me, it is a view that has always been abhorrent.
You see, John, most girls are married ignorant of the sexual side of life, even if they know what it means. They have not experienced it. That's the crux. In a vast number of marriages, girls are not and cannot be certain whether they love the man they marry or not. They do not know until after that act of union which makes the reality of marriage. Now, in many, perhaps in most doubtful cases, this act cements and strengthens the attachment. But in other cases, and your mother was one, it is a revelation of mistakes.
A destruction of such attraction as there was.
Well?
Thank you, dear.
It's a long letter. Is there anything you would like left out?
No. He must know all, if he's to understand.
That's what I thought. But I hate it.
I wonder if he will understand even now, Jolyon. He's so young. And he shrinks from the physical.
Yes, he gets that from my father. He was as fastidious as a girl in all such matters. Would it be better to rewrite the whole thing and just say you hated Soames?
Hate's only a word. It conveys nothing. No. Better as it is.
Very well. It shall go tomorrow.
Irene raised her face to his, and in the sight of the big house's many creepered windows, Jolyon kissed her.
Why, John, where did you spring from? I must have dozed off.
I came home to tell you something, Dad.
Well, sit down, old man. Have you seen your mother?
No. Father, Fleur and I are engaged. I know that you and Mother don't like the idea. Fleur says that Mother was engaged to her father before you married her. Of course, I don't know what happened, but it must be ages ago. I'm devoted to her, Dad. And she says she is to me.
You are 19, John. And I'm 72. How are we to understand each other in a matter like this, eh?
You love Mother, Dad. You must know what we feel. It isn't fair to us to let old things like that spoil our happiness, is it?
You talk lightly about old things like that, John, knowing nothing, as you say truly, of what happened. Now, have I ever given you reason to doubt my love for you? Or my word? Very well. You can believe what I tell you. If you don't give up this love affair, he will make your mother wretched to the end of her days.
Dad.
Believe me, my dear, the past, whatever it was, can't be buried. It can't indeed.
I can't, Father. How can I? Just because you say that, of course I can't.
John, if you knew the story, you would give this up without hesitation. You would have to.
How can you tell what I should think? Father, I love Fleur better than anything in the world.
Better than your mother, John?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. But to give Fleur up for nothing, for something I don't understand, well, it'll make me...
Feel it's all unjust. Put up a barrier, yes. But that's better than going on with this.
I can't. Fleur loves me and I love her. You want me to trust you? Why don't you trust me, Father? We wouldn't want to know anything. We wouldn't let it make any difference. It'll only make us both love you and Mother all the more.
Think what your mother's been to you, John. She has nothing but you. I shan't last much longer.
Why not? It isn't fair to... Why not?
Well, because the doctors tell me I shan't, that's all.
Oh. Dad.
Dear man. Don't... Or you'll make me. By the way, don't speak of that to Mother. She has enough to frighten her with this affair of yours. I know how you feel. But, John, you know her and me well enough to be sure we wouldn't want to spoil your happiness lightly. Why, my dear boy, we don't care for anything but your happiness. At least with me, it's just yours and your mother's. And with her, just yours. It's all the future for you both that's at stake.
What is it? What is it? Don't keep me in ignorance like this.
Well, John, if you hadn't come today, I was going to send you this letter. I wanted to spare you. I wanted to spare your mother and myself, but I see it's no good. Read it. And I think I'll go into the garden.
No. No, I'll go.
John. John!
Jolyon traversed the shrubbery and glanced into the walled garden. No, John.
John!
He passed the cypress trees, dark spiral planted John. By old Jolyon so many years ago, then moved on into the meadow.
Where has the boy got to? How often we used to cross this field together, hand in hand, when he was a little chap. Daddy, the golden age is over by the time one's 10.
John! John!
I oughtn't to have let him go off alone with that letter. I should have kept my eye on him.
John!
That's the story, John. I've told it to you because by the affection which we see you have formed for this man's daughter, you are blindly moving toward what must utterly destroy your mother's happiness, if not your own. I have nothing to say against Fleur, save that she is his daughter. But your children, if you married her, would be the grandchildren of Soames, as much as of your mother. Of a man who once owned your mother as a man might own a slave. Slave. Property, children, grandchildren. It's all horrible. Wretched. Cruel.
John, it's me.
Well, you know, I see.
Yes.
You've seen Father?
Yes.
My darling boy, my most darling boy, don't think of me. Think of yourself.
On across the lawn, Jolyon went up. Up the slope to the old oak tree. Its top alone was glistening, for the southern sun was away over the house. The lower shade was thick, blessedly cool. He was greatly overheated.
Jolly, Holly, John, the old swing, back and forth, timeless old swing. I've overdone it. By Joe, I've overdone it. After all, the house. I must get to the house.
He staggered up towards the terrace, dragged himself up the steps, and fell against the wall of the house. He leaned there, gasping, his face buried in the honeysuckle that he and Irene had taken such trouble with, that it might sweeten the air within. Its fragrance mingled with awful pain.
I love the boy.
With a great effort, he darted in through the long window and sank into old Jolyon's chair.
The book. Carefully. Good. And the pencil. Steady. Hold it. Steady. So. It's like this. Is it?
Summer. Summer. All the heat and hum and scent of summer.
John! John! Oh, John, he's dead. He's dead.
But how can he? How? Only an hour ago I was... We were talking.
Darling. Darling, why... Why wasn't I with you?
Your name, Mother.
Oh.
He's penciled your name.
Oh!
You read about that fellow, I suppose.
Yes, Holmes.
Diligent and agreeable painter whose work we have come to look on as typical of the best late Victorian watercolour art.
What does Fleur say about it?
Well, she may not even know. She never reads the papers, and we haven't discussed it.
I'm sorry for his children. He was very amiable.
I know. There was a superstition to that effect.
One must do him justice now he's dead.
I should like to have done him justice before, but I never had the chance. Have you got a baronetage here?
Yes. It's in that bottom row.
Mont. Sir Lawrence, 9th Bart. Created 1620. Eldest son of Geoffrey, 8th Bart. And Lavinia, daughter of Sir Charles Muscombe, Bart of Muscombe Hall, Salop. Married 1890. Emily, daughter of Conway Charwell, Esquire of Condiford Grange, County Oxon. One son, heir Michael Conway. Born 1895, residence Lippinghall Manor, clubs. Can you see any connection between a baronet and publishing?
Oh, people do all sorts of things nowadays.
This young mob that I'm speaking of is very sweet on Fleur. If you will put an end to that other affair, I might encourage it.
Does he have style?
Well, he's no beauty, pleasant enough, with some scattered brains. A good deal of land, I believe. He seems genuinely attached. But I don't know.
No, it's very difficult, Soames.
Ah. How pretty she is. No wonder that young fellow's out of his mind about her.
On arriving back at Mapledurham, Soames found young Mont playing billiards with Fleur.
I shall never do it.
Nothing ventured?
All right.
Never mind.
A title. Land. Well, there's little enough on land these days, perhaps even less than a title. None of the old Forsytes thought much of titles, not worth the money they cost to do with court. They didn't believe in all that flummery. When Mother wanted to be presented, Father put his foot down. All that peacocking, wasting time and money. There's no real harm in the young fellow being heir to a title and estate. It can't be helped, and better than that other business.
The game's over, then.
Yes, over. All over.
Well, I've started in, sir. Rum game business, isn't it? Suppose you saw a lot of human nature as a solicitor.
I did.
Shall I tell you what I've noticed? People are quite on the wrong track in offering less than they can afford to give. They ought to offer more and work backward.
Suppose the more is accepted.
Well, that doesn't matter. Say we offer an author good terms. He naturally takes them. Then we go into it, find we can't publish at a decent profit and tell him so. He's got confidence in us because we've been generous to him, and he comes down like a lamb and bears us no malice. But if we offer him poor terms at the start, he doesn't take them, so we have to advance them to get him. And he thinks us damn screws into the bargain.
Try buying pictures on that system. An offer accepted is a contract. Haven't you learned that?
No. I wish I had, eh, Fleur? You know, then there's another thing. Always let a man off a bargain if he wants to be let off.
As an advertisement?
Well, of course it is, but I meant on principle.
Does your firm work on those lines?
Not yet, but it'll come.
Ah, and they will go.
No, no, really, sir. Human nature is consistently underrated in business. People do themselves out of an awful lot of pleasure and profit by that. The more human and generous you are, the better chance you've got in business.
Are you a partner?
Not for 6 months yet.
The rest of the firm had better make haste and retire.
You'll see, there's going to be a big change. The possessive principal has got its shutters up.
What?
The house is to let. Well, goodbye, sir. I'm off now. Good night, Fleur.
Good night. Have you done anything to stop John writing to me, Father?
You haven't seen, then?
Seen what?
His father died just a week ago today.
Oh. Poor John. Why didn't you tell me, Father?
I never know. You don't confide in me.
I would if you'd help me, dear.
Perhaps I shall.
Oh, darling, when one wants a thing fearfully, one doesn't think of other people. Don't be angry with me.
Angry? I'm cogitating. Oh, what a ridiculous word to use. Has young Mont been bothering you again?
Oh, Michael, he's always bothering. But he's such a good sport, I don't mind him. You see, I have... What do they call it, Father? I have an obsession. A fixed idea that makes me oblivious to anything else. Nothing beyond that one thing really counts.
The weeks which followed the death of his father were sad and empty to the only Jolyon Forsyte left. His father was cremated. By his special wish, no one attended that ceremony or wore black for him.
Are those unfinished pictures?
No. It's the portfolio of ones he never exhibited.
I'm glad we decided to undertake this exhibition ourselves, John. I know June was eager to do it, but it's better somehow that we do it, you and I.
I've never seen this one before.
Which one?
It's the pond in the botanical gardens. Autumn.
Oh, he painted a lot there.
He's written something on the back. She wore a black picture hat, her face very like Titian's heavenly love.
Let me see.
He's really caught the colour of those dead leaves. I wonder who she was. It's dated 1887.
Your father, John, had such refinement. He couldn't help thinking of others, whatever he did. And when he decided he had to do something that would go against everything and everyone, he did it with the minimum defiance. Twice in his life he had to do that, and yet it never made him bitter.
I wonder why he always referred to himself as an amateur.
He refused to bore people by letting them see he took himself seriously. It was one of his guiding principles.
I feel more and more that I never really knew Father.
Oh, no, John. You both knew each other very well.
Mother?
Yes.
No, nothing. I was thinking of nothing.
Shall I play some more for you?
Yes. Oh, yes.
A one-man exhibition. He'll like that. I'll play you one of your grandfather's favorites.
Oh, I'm disgusting. My whole behavior's disgusting. If only I had her power, her dignity, her pride. She's so patient in her sadness. But when I try to smile at her, I feel grudging and unnatural. What's the matter with me? She's been so quiet about Dad's death, almost as if she didn't feel it much. Yet I can see the tears on her face, though she thinks I can't. She feels it deeply, deeply. But then I see those wretched white pages of Dad's letter, and I can't have what I so desperately want because of her, because of her. And we never talk about it. Never.
Fleur?
Yes, dear?
Winifred has invited us to lunch and to go on afterwards to the Beggar's Opera.
Oh, yes, that should be jolly.
She wants us to bring a man to make four. I thought young Mont might like to join us.
I'm sure he'll be in his seventh heaven.
And you?
Oh, you know me, dear. I like to go to everything, to do everything, to enjoy everything. You look so puzzled, darling.
Has anything unusual happened over these last few days?
No. Why?
You seem to have been exceptionally busy and bright.
Wasn't that what I was brought up to be? Oh, it'll all be frightfully amusing, as Aunt Winifred would say.
A most amusing little play.
I can't wait much longer.
I thought it was very cynical.
Cynical, Soames?
All those unpleasant people.
Oh, what if I were to go and see him?
The dresses intrigued me.
I was enraptured.
Alone.
The music was such a relief. Last night I went to the opera.
I'll take the car and I won't tell Father.
I arrived too early for the Russian ballet, and there was the stage full of singers uttering horrible squawks.
I'll go on Monday.
Terrified in case they might drop into a tune.
Monday.
What do you think, Fleur?
Hmm?
What do you think?
I don't think I thought about it at all.
Oh, I say.
John?
Fleur! How nice of you to come.
I asked for you and they told me you were here. But I can go away again. I know I told you a lie, John, but I told it out of love.
Yes. Oh, yes. That's nothing.
I didn't answer your letter. What was the use? There wasn't anything to answer. I wanted to see you instead. That old story, was it so very dreadful?
Yes.
I didn't think in these days boys would tie to their mother's apron strings. Oh, I didn't mean it, John. What a horrible thing to say, John, dear. I didn't mean it.
It's all right.
Well, I'll go if you don't want me. But I never thought you'd have given me up.
I haven't. I can't. I'll try again.
John, I love you. Don't give me up. If you do, I don't know what... I feel so desperate.
Oh, Fleur.
John.
It'll be all right. Everything will be all right. I love her.
Young though she will always seem to be, your mother is 57.
It'll be all right.
Except for us two, she has no one in the world. She will soon have only you.
What does it matter, John? All that past compared with this?
It doesn't. It doesn't matter.
Pluck up your spirit, John, and break away.
Make your mother see, John, that the past does not matter.
Yes, yes, I love you, Flo.
Don't break your mother's heart.
Make her see, John. Promise. Oh, John, try.
I promise. You don't understand.
She wants to spoil our lives just because...
Yes? Just because of what?
Kiss me again, John. Kiss me again.
Fleur.
Fleur. You frightened me.
How, dear?
You've been out in that car since 2 o'clock.
Yes.
It's now 7:45. I thought all sorts of things. I even telephoned your Aunt Winifred.
But there was nothing to worry about, dear.
I don't care for cars, tearing great smelly things.
As Mother would say, well, we can't do without them now.
Where have you been?
To Robin Hill. I'm sorry, dear. I had to go. I'll tell you about it later.
Sit down, John. Let's talk. I know Fleur came today. I'm not surprised. I have Father's letter. I picked it up that night and kept it. Would you like it back, dear?
No.
I had almost read it, of course, before he gave it to you. It didn't quite do justice to my criminality.
Mother!
Oh, he put it very sweetly. But I know that in marrying Fleur's father without love, I did a dreadful thing. An unhappy marriage, John, can play such havoc with other lives, besides one's own. You're fearfully young, my darling, and fearfully loving. Do you think you can possibly be happy with this girl?
Yes. Oh, yes, if you could be.
Admiration of beauty and longing for possession are not love. If yours were another case like mine, John, where the deepest things are stifled, the flesh joined, and the spirit at war.
Why should it, Mother? You think she must be like a father, but she's not. I've seen him.
You are a giver, John. She is a taker.
She isn't. She isn't. It's only because I can't bear to make you unhappy, Mother, now that Father's...
Oh. I told you that day, dear, not to mind me. I meant it. Think of yourself and your own happiness. I can stand what's left. I've brought it on myself.
Oh, Mother.
Does your head ache, darling?
No. Not my head.
I shall always love you just the same, John, whatever you do. You won't lose anything.
I used to have a musical box in my nursery days. It played things like The Harmonious Blacksmith and Glorious Port. My mother used to set it going on Sunday afternoons, and it always made me miserable. And now we have this thing, larger and more expensive, playing The Wild, Wild Women or The Policeman's Holiday, and I have exactly the same feeling.
Darling, be nice to me. I had to see John. He wrote to me. He's going to try what he can do with his mother, but... I've been thinking. It's really in your hands, Father.
Mine?
If you persuade her that it doesn't mean renewing the past in any way, that I shall stay yours and John will stay hers, that you need never see him or her and she need never see you or me. But only you could persuade her, dear, because only you could promise. One can't promise for other people. Surely it wouldn't be too awkward for you to see her just this once, now that John's father is dead.
Too awkward? The whole thing's preposterous.
You know you wouldn't mind seeing her, really.
What am I to do if you won't, Father?
I'll do anything for your happiness, but this isn't for your happiness.
Oh, it is, it is.
It'll only stir things up.
But they are stirred up. The thing is to quiet them, to make her feel that this is just our lives and has nothing to do with yours or hers. You can do it, Father. I know you can.
Well, you know a great deal, then.
If you will, John and I will wait a year. Or 2 years, if you like.
It seems to me that you care nothing about what I feel.
I do, darling. But you wouldn't like me to be awfully miserable. Would you, darling?
Well, but I'll think it over and do what I can. Now, come, Fleur. Come. Oh, I can't bear it when she cries. The flower of my life. She must have it for her happiness. She must. I can't refuse to help her.
Will you come in, please?
I apologize for coming, but this business must be settled one way or the other.
Won't you sit down?
No, thank you. It's an infernal mischance. I've done my best to discourage it. I consider my daughter crazy, but I've got in the habit of indulging her, and that's why I'm here. I suppose you're fond of your son?
Devotedly.
Well?
It rests with him.
But it's a mad notion.
It is.
If you had only... Well, they might have been... So far as I'm concerned, you may make your mind easy. I desire to see neither you nor your son if this marriage comes about. Young people in these days are unaccountable, but I can't bear to see my daughter unhappy. So what am I to say when I go back?
Please say to her, as I said to you, that it rests with John.
You don't oppose it?
With all my heart. Not with my lips.
Where is he, your son?
Up in his father's studio, I think.
Perhaps you'd have him down.
Very well. Sarah, please tell Mr. John that I want him.
Very well, ma'am.
If it rests with him, I suppose I may take it for granted that this unnatural marriage will take place. In that case, there'll be formalities. Whom do I deal with? Herrings?
I suppose so.
You don't propose to live with them?
No.
What happens to this house?
It will be as John wishes.
This house, I had hopes when I began it. If they live in it, their children, they say there's such a thing as nemesis. Do you believe in it?
Yes.
Oh, you do. Well, I'm not likely to see you again. Will you shake hands and let the past die?
I cannot.
Mother?
Oh, well, young man. I'm here for my daughter. It rests with you, it seems, this matter. Your mother leaves it in your hands. For my daughter's sake, I brought myself to come. What am I to say to her when I go back?
Tell Fleur, please, that it's no good. I must do as my father wished before he died.
John.
It's all right, Mother.
Well, so that's that.
Father? What? What? Quick, Father!
My dear, I did my best, and...
She?
No. He. I was to tell you that it was no use. He must do what his father wished before he died.
Oh!
Now, come, child, don't let them hurt you. They're not worth your little finger.
You didn't. You couldn't have tried. You betrayed me, Father. Betrayed. You didn't try. You didn't. I was a fool. I won't believe he could. He ever could. Only yesterday he... Oh, why did I ask you?
Yes. Why did you? I swallowed my feelings. I did my best for you against my better judgment, and this is my reward. Good night,
Fleur.
He gives me up. You mean that? Father?
Yes.
What did you? What could you have done in those old days?
What did I do?
It's a shame.
Yes, Fleur. It is a shame.
There goes the owl.
Mother?
Yes, John.
Let's go to Italy.
It would be very nice, John, but I've been thinking you ought to see and do more than you would if I were with you.
But then you'd be alone.
I was once alone for more than 12 years. Besides, I should like to be here for the opening of Father's show.
You couldn't stay here all by yourself. It's too big.
Not here, perhaps. In London. And I might go to Paris after the show opens. You ought to have a year at least, John, and see the world.
Yes. But I don't want to leave you all alone.
My dear, I owe you that, at least. Why not start tomorrow? You've got your passport.
Yes. If I'm going, it had better be at once. Only, Mother, if I wanted to stay out somewhere, America or somewhere, would you mind coming presently?
Wherever and whenever you send for me. But don't send until you really want me.
I feel England suddenly choky.
Yes. Yes, John. I understand.
Under the oak tree they stood for a few moments longer, looking out to where the grandstand at Epsom was veiled in evening. The branches kept the moonlight from them so that it only fell everywhere else, over the hills and far away, and on the windows of the creepered house behind, which soon would be to let. In the union of Fleur Forsyte, the great-granddaughter of Superior Dasset, with Michael Mont, the heir of a ninth baronet, was the outward and visible sign of that merger of class in class which buttresses the political stability of a realm.
This young Mont's a sort of socialist, isn't he?
They'll soon be having puppies. That'll give him pause.
The time had come when the Forsytes might resign their natural resentment against the flummery not theirs by birth and accept it as the still more natural due of their possessive instincts. Besides, they had to mount to make room for all those so much more newly rich.
I had a letter from John this morning, Val.
Oh? Where is he?
He's in British Columbia. He's bought some land and sent for his mother.
What on earth will she do out there?
All she cares about is John. Do you still think it a happy release?
Fleur wouldn't have suited him a bit. She's not bred right.
Poor little Fleur.
They're off. But will she stay the course?
Will she? I've been so lucky, Val, with you. I can't bear the thought of unhappy marriages.
This might not be one in the end, but it's clearly a toss-up.
How do you think Fleur looks?
Remarkably well.
Yes.
The honeymoon in Spain will do her the world of good. George! Oh, of all wonders, Jews in a jipper.
The things she wears.
Really, she does the most impossible things. Fancy her coming.
What made you ask her?
Because I thought she wouldn't accept, of course. I asked you to come upstairs while I changed, June, because I suppose you think me a fool when it was to have been John. What does it matter? Michael wants me and I don't care. It'll get me away from home. John wrote me this.
Lake Okanagan, British Columbia. I'm not coming back to England. Bless you always, John.
She's made safe, you see.
That's not fair to Irene. She always told John he could do as he wished.
Tell me, didn't she spoil your life, too?
Nobody can spoil a life, my dear. That's nonsense. Things happen, but we bob up. Oh, that's all right, all right. Don't. There, there. Sit under it, my dear. We can't control life, but we can fight it. Make the best of things. I've had to. I held on like you, and I cried, as you're crying now, and look at me. Oh, right. I'm sorry. I shall forget him, I suppose, if I fly fast and far enough.
Mm. Give me a kiss.
Mm. Oh, I suppose I'd better wash all this off with some cold water.
They'll miss the train. All that kissing and goodbye. Her last moment of girlhood. How will she treat me? I can't hope for much. That train will take her away from me.
Daddy.
Daddy. She hasn't called me that for years. All that confetti stuff. What folly. I'd like to catch her smile if she leans out. If they don't take care, they'll hit her in the eye with that shoe.
Goodbye, sir, and thank you. I'm so fearfully bucked.
Goodbye. Don't miss your train.
I can just see from here, above the heads, the silly hats and heads. And there's that stuff showering down. There goes the shoe. Fleur. My little flower. I feel, I don't know, my little girl. Damn. I can't seem to see.
In the irritable desolation of this soul, Soames went into the Goupnor Gallery. His dead cousin's watercolours are on view there.
Certainly a body of work. And that fatal house at Robin Hill's for sale. Shall I buy it back? Irene. So she hasn't gone yet. Still paying farewell visits to that fellow's remains.
Irene lifted her gloved hand. Her lips smiled faintly. Her dark eyes seemed to speak. It was Soames's turn to make no answer to that smile and that little farewell wave.
I know what that meant, what it said. Now that I'm going out of the reach of you and yours, I wish you well. Ah, that terrible aversion. Would have been better if she hadn't smiled, hadn't lifted her hand. It hurts. It hurts.
3 days later, in that fast yellowing October, Soames took a taxicab to Highgate Cemetery.
The family vault of Jolyon Forsyte, 1850. It's in good order. Whole family here now, except for old Jolyon lying at Robin Hill. The Forsyte tree, Aunt Anne called us. Family of good, solid middlemen. No flummery. But now the tree's down. The family bolts shot. The possessive instinct dying out. They'll go into art, literature, farming, or the army. No push, no tenacity. They'll die out if they don't take care.
Through the trembling gold birch leaves, Soames gazed out at London.
Gardenias. Her hair, rusty golden. Her shoulders so white. Aversion. I never owned her.
Right. Identify the gentleman, sir.
Yes. If you'll excuse me, Inspector, I have work to do.
I'm going to my room. Let me pass. So your wife is a great friend of Mr. Bosinney's.
Women are the devil.
Anna Forsyte!
Foresight change. Now closed forever.
My dear!
Nobody tells me anything.
Irene, looking at space with the eyes of a caged bird.
Young Bosinney has been run over in the fog and killed. There's some talk of suicide.
20 more years?
Caprice. Only I like my caprices and I don't like yours, dear.
You will live a long time, Soames.
The cold stars above Hyde Park. and father lying dead.
Isn't he a great cat? Proud.
I congratulate you. Daughter. Luckily, a son would have killed her.
Fleur. We'll call her that.
Daddy.
To let. The foresight age and way of life. It's changing. Everything's changing. And why do I feel this pain, this melancholy?
The sun was like enchantment on his face, on the clouds, on the golden birch leaves.
Change. The interval of death between two forms of life.
The wind's rustle was so gentle.
One has to destroy to make room for new property.
And the yew tree green, so dark.
So the board's up and coziness to get.
And the sickle of a moon pale in the sky.
But someone will come along and take it again, someday.
Soames Forsyte might wish and wish and never get it. The beauty and the loving in the world.
In episode 9 of the Forsyte Chronicles, Galsworthy was Dirk Bogarde. Soames was Alan Howard. Fleur, Amanda Redman. Young Jolyon, Michael Williams. Irene, Diana Quick. John, Gary Cady. And Old Jolyon, Michael Horden. Gary Bond played Michael Mont. David King, Timothy. Shelley Thompson, Annette. Fiona Walker, Winifred. And Angela Pleasance, June. Elizabeth Mansfield played Holly, Dale Rapley, Val, and Brian Miller, Gradman. Monsieur Profond was Christopher Good, and Spiller, Joe Kendall. Other parts were played by Danielle Allen. The director was Anthony Cornish.